Now, following up with what the Apostle Paul wrote, you know, where he was criticized, where he was persecuted, where people spoke ill against him. And now he very blank, very frankly, very candidly disclosed what he had to experience in his life. And that was not an easy thing to face all these things here. Now, some people would respond again here poorly and think that basically what Paul is trying to do is to shame them. Right? He's going to put them, make them look bad, put them in a bad light, and so on and so forth. When people are negative, you will find that they will always be having a negative opinion anywhere you look at it. You want to maintain your right, therefore the other person is wrong. Whatever explanation the person comes up with, you still find fault because you do not want to admit that you are wrong. That is the problem that Paul had to discuss. So 1 Corinthians 4, he wrote these good words to us to study very carefully. Right? And so he said, do not write these things to shame you. That is your understanding of this particular text. But as my beloved children, I warn you. Though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Right? So let's take a look at what this text really is trying to teach us. Okay? So when Paul wrote what he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first few verses we read, last week, concerning this matter of suffering, right? These things were shared candidly, openly. He shared them as a father would share with his beloved children. That's basically it, right? He cared for them deeply. He wanted them to understand where he came from, what his heart was like, what he was thinking about, his relationship with them. And Paul tells them very frankly, I am writing these things not for the purpose of shaming you, but to warn them. Well, this is very important. And sometimes we fail to understand aright. Right? Because we already think we are right. And when we are corrected, we hate that being corrected. We don't like to be reprimanded. We don't like to be told we are wrong. We don't like to be rebuked. So what do? We twist things. We turn things around and say, it's all your fault. I was right. Well, Paul says, I'm going to share with you very openly, very candidly. I'm not out here to shame you, but I want to warn you. Well, what is that all about? And this is important for us. See, the underlying problem is that there were people who come along in a church in those days. This is very common, right? When churches were open and there were communities there, there would always be passers-by. And these itinerant preachers, as it were, itinerant teachers, they are the ones who will go to the churches that are existing. They didn't start the church. They're just visitors. And so out of politeness, out of practice, out of customs in those days, for example, Jewish rabbis, wherever they go, they are welcome to say a word or two to people. And so they do that. And so they became, as it were, instructors. Some people were more gifted in speaking than other people. Some people were able to share insights that Paul perhaps did not speak about. So they were, as it were, became instructors, right? And there were many people. That's why Paul talked about 10,000 instructors. Not that they were actually 10,000 instructors, but there were many who came as itinerant preachers, teachers, pastors, and they gave words here. And some were, in fact, good examples. Some of them were able to give good insights. Some people were really good teachers. And they stayed a while in Corinth. And in Corinth, their people are wealthy enough to entertain strangers. And they became friends with them. And along the way, there will be some who are critical of Paul. There will be others who will pick up different opinions. and different experiences, but they're not going to tell them that they are wrong. They're just going to raise question marks with reference to Paul's life and ministry. And so, as it were, though there became a rift. So Paul became one out of 10,000 instructors. His role, his position, his standing had all but eroded totally. And so he became one of thousands of instructors. In other words, his prominence, his value, his significance, his place in the Corinthian church was all but gone completely. So Paul wrote to them to remind them. Now bear this in mind. You may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but let me ask you, how many are fathers to you? There's a lot of difference between a mere instructor and one who is father, right? And so his role was actually very significant as one who is father, right? I think we all understand the role of fathers, how they are there to lead a family, how they are there to provide for the family, how they are there to protect the family, how they are there to offer good godly counsel. They are there for all in the family. Now, itinerant preachers don't do that. They're just there to preach a word or two, and everybody say, wow, that's a very dynamic speaker, and the person is gone. Did the person stay behind to provide? No. Did the person stay behind to protect? No. Did the person stay there to develop any meaningful relationship? Answer, no. But they are honored above Paul. Why? Because they sound wonderful, they sound great, and so a lot of people have this kind of approach towards Paul and his ministry. And so the personal significant value was just simply lost along the way. And that became a very big problem. But what was Paul's role in the Corinthian church? Now, this was almost forgotten. Who was the one who founded the church in Corinth? Paul. None of the 10,000 instructors founded the Corinthian church. Right? How did some of the people, perhaps many of the people, come to faith in the Lord Jesus? It was because of his 1.5 years of ministry in Corinth. And so many people came to faith in the Lord Jesus, came to believe in the Lord Jesus and became children of God. Right? So Paul obviously taught very important, fundamental, foundational truths about the Lord, about the Christian faith, about the Christian lifestyle. Did any of the 10,000 instructors instruct along these lines, instruct along similar lines? The answer is questionable, right? So this is what Paul was trying to say. They, along the way, somehow they had lost him along the way and they had gone astray without realizing it. Or maybe they did, and very frankly, don't care about Paul anymore, right? So Paul wrote to them very candidly and he says, I urge you, imitate me. Now, this is important. The idea of imitation is just simply to carefully follow. And this is important for us to understand what it really means. These are the words of an anguished spiritual father. Right? What were they becoming? What were the Corinthian church like now as the members? One, obviously, conceit. They have become conceited. They become arrogant, they become opinionated, they become worldly wise. They were actually already carnal, right? And you hear very clearly when people raise questions, when people speak to each other, when people regard those who brought them up spiritually and think of them in the worst possible way, then we are looking at how they have turned out in the final analysis. And these are sins that had to be dealt with. That's why the Lord, Lord's apostle, the Lord's servant, had to say, I warn you. This is what he was warning them about. Right? This is exactly different from what Paul was. They were what Paul was not. These are all these things here. So the plea, therefore, was, how do we go from here? The challenge was, imitate Paul. Right? And this is important. Is it even possible? See, the problem is not whether it's possible. It's because whether they want to or they don't. And very frankly, the answer is they don't. Right? So here is where Paul presented Timothy as an example of one who can and will. And so in verse 17, chapter 4, he wrote, I sent Timothy to you. What is he like? He is one, my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And I think that is a beautiful way of describing the one who is a spiritual son. First, Paul declares his love for Timothy openly. Two, he praises and honors Timothy as a faithful son in the Lord. Now, this is not because he was just using nice language to describe Timothy. The point of it all, he was describing that which is actual, that which is factual, that which is very, very obvious, because Timothy was just like a son to Paul. So it's not a question of favoritism, because he talks about how he is a faithful son. You see, when we talk about one who is beloved because one is faithful, then we know that we are looking at a factual understanding rather than just simply a personal bias. It's not, because faith, if Timothy is not faithful, he can call him a beloved son, but he cannot call him a faithful son. But only when a person is truly a faithful son in the Lord, in other words, before God, is he faithful? Is he truly faithful? Yes. Right? So the idea of beloved son and faithful son are separated, because people can say, well, he's beloved son, therefore he can do no wrong. That's not the point. The point is that he was a faithful son in the Lord, and therefore Paul appreciated him for the wonderful son that he became. Right? And so he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and this will be his task. What is his task? Right? So he's just going to remind you rather than to simply teach. So he's not going to teach something that Paul didn't teach. He's just going to teach by way of reminder, reminding them of what Paul was really like as a person, as a disciple, as a teacher, as an apostle. And Paul says, he's going to tell you about me, basically, his life, the lifestyle. And so this is very important, how we want to look at it. So when we try to understand this particular text, 2 Timothy 3:10 to 15 really come to mind readily. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. This is the reference to Timothy. So Paul wrote a personal letter to Timothy, and he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance. And then persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And so he went on further to tell Timothy, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's what Paul was experiencing. And because he was a person who lived in a righteous manner, he was persecuted because of his righteousness. What about those who are persecutors? Well, Paul had a very grim and candid word concerning that. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived, that's a problem. Right? So what happens with those people who now suddenly turn against Paul? For what reason? But Paul says, look, these people could just simply be evil people. These people can appear to be instructors, but they are imposters. You know, guess what? They're going to get worse and worse, because they are deceiving people, and they themselves are being deceived, and nobody knows the difference. And Paul tells Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So as we try and conclude this particular lesson, we ask ourselves what things we can actually follow. The first is very obvious. There are biblical examples to follow. The Apostle Paul is one of them. His life is truly exemplary, and Timothy followed Paul because of what he saw in the life of Paul, what he taught, how he lived. they were consistent. Two, we must really be careful of people who are evil and imposters. We have to be a lot more discerning with reference to the 10,000 instructors that they're supposed to be. Think about this things here. The danger of deception and evil, they are really very real. And if we're not careful, we are going to end up being deceived. That's something we want to look at very, very carefully. Well, may the Lord grant us His grace and His protection. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this challenging word to study and to apply into our lives. We pray that You would teach us how we can overcome all the challenges of life. Lord, help us to be upright, noble people who know You, who love You, who have faith in You, who trust in You. We pray for Your blessings as we seek to apply the lessons we read in 1 Corinthians. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.